Thank you. Thank you, Claire. Yes, and a welcome from me too. So I'm sure that most on our mind this week has been the death of our dear brother Joe. Clearly, following a very major operation on Monday, he did pass away to be with the Lord on Wednesday. And Joe, as we all know, was a dear brother. He lived life to the full, and he challenged all of us to question what we believed and why we believed it. And he modeled in our lives, in our midst, what it was to be a true believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I put up that Ecclesiastes passage at the beginning because that really was a passage that helped me personally when I was trying to deal with the sudden death of both my parents a few years ago. And it just pointed out to me and helped me understand why the world didn't stop when my world stopped temporarily. The world just kept going, and I had to keep going. And we all have to keep going, and we all have to trust the Lord at this time. There are seasons for everything. There are seasons for everything that goes on in our life. And in my case, a few months later, I married off my daughter, and I had to move from a period of joy, a period of sadness and mourning, to a period of joy and happiness. And I think the Lord too will help us to come through this time. Now is the time to probably sit quietly, to maybe question, to maybe shout, just ask the Lord, why now? Why did he take away our brother now? And for all of us, really, to come into his presence. And I do hope that the talk we're going to hear later will help us with some of those questions and provide us with some of those answers as well. But what I felt it would be really nice to do now is to hear a eulogy that some of you may have seen on Facebook earlier in the week from Gabriel Carberry. And I've asked Katrina if she was happy for Gabriel to share this, and she was. So I'm going to ask Gabriel now just to share that eulogy and maybe a few other words that he has about his brother Joe at this time. So over to you, Gabriel.
Thanks, Jonathan. Can everyone hear me? Brilliant. Okay, I'll take that as a yes. Let me just try and get you guys steady here so that I don't have to hold my phone. It may not work, but that's okay. All right, cool. I think that's okay. Brilliant. I'm really honored to Fantastic. Do you know what's brilliant about this? Joe would actually find this really funny if he was still around. This little technical difficulty. He loved it when I was being awkward. I'm just going to hold you all. I'm really honored to share about Joe today. Thanks, Jonathan, for asking me to share this. I think Joe is a lot of things to all of us. And I had a lot of different experiences of Joe Panda in my own life. His life was really special to me. The night that he passed away, it was the last night of the Tier 2 restrictions. A lot of us gathered around a bonfire outside and remembered Joe. Callum actually organized that, which was really good of him. And we went well into the night sharing memories about him. And a lot of my own experience of him sort of percolated. And I decided to write what I wrote online. Because I was convicted that not many people knew Joe. And the reason that not many people knew Joe was because, he had a really strange humility. I've met a lot of humble Christians who are really trying to be humble, that they really strive after it. But Joe just did humility. He just did it. He just lived it and breathed it. And I feel like people need to know that, the life that Joe lived was possible. It was a real thing, and people can have that. He never tried to take the stage. He was never self-congratulatory. He never received false praise. In fact, he really hated false praise, as some of us know very well. He was a man who could really perceive inauthenticity and false adoration and shut it down. He really modeled intimacy with the Lord, and I think a lot of that was born out of all the suffering that he experienced personally. as I was saying, Joe was many things to me, and I want to share about those roles that he played in my life. Joe was a youth leader to me when he first came to Australia. He annoyed me a lot as a sort of neurotic, emotional little kid because he called me out on all of my nonsense. He became a mentor who listened to all of the pain that I was experiencing when I was growing in the Lord and called me on in faith. He preached the gospel to me, and he prayed for me to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit when I was 16. Getting older, he became my last resort. If there was an emotional issue or a spiritual issue or a sin issue that I was really struggling with, that I honestly felt like I couldn't tell anyone about it, Joe was the one that I went to. And I knew that Joe would not sugarcoat his words. If I was in the wrong, I was in the wrong. But if there was pain that needed to be acknowledged, he would acknowledge it. Joe became my missions partner on many different random ventures like Power and Love and The Turning and so on. And he would keep me in check when I was being excessive or stupid. And he did that very, very well. He became my employer 2 summers ago. And he was really excellent at helping me grow in my love for the poor and my broken in my role as a carer, because he modeled Christ so well. And he ended up becoming my big brother, really, my rock. And, you know, his siblings say Joe Pender's my hero. They've been saying that for a long time. And Joe Pender became a hero to me. And the main thing that comes to mind when I really think about Joe is that Joe was a lover. He wasn't someone who talked a good game about love. He wasn't just someone who could wax lyrical about it and or write nice songs about it or give a good sermon about it. He did love. He just did. Thomas Aquinas says love is willing the good of the other. And I can't think of a time that I've seen Joe ever will anything except for the good of the other person. He loved many things. He loved to pick arguments with his friends about theology and politics and pin them down and annoy them with his cruel and effective debate strategies. He loved to employ them when they're in a bit of financial trouble and didn't know what to do. He loved to inspire them to pursue their romantic relationships and get married because he loved his marriage so much. He loved to take risks and be wild and full of faith and just that be an ordinary extension of his character. He loved to break social norms and for that to just be a natural extension of who he was as well. He loved genuine, real authenticity. He loved taking years to help me find mine. He loved being a good friend. He loved listening to me and speaking truth into my life and putting me on the path to peace and forgiveness a long time ago. He loved approaching people when they needed to be reproached. He even loved really annoying them and irritating them if it meant that it would help their spiritual process. He loved taking me to Luke Pender's paintball stag do and conspiring with the other lads to shoot me in the back when I wasn't looking. he loved telling me to be a man when I didn't take that too well. He loved being a carer because even though he was an incredibly sharp, clever guy who could have gone into politics or research or like consultancy or whatever and made a total killing, he was just obsessed with looking after the poor and the broken. When me and George Farhat asked what he wanted to do with Katrina as his ministry, he said he wanted to go to the poorest nation, to the poorest town, and find the autistic and the deformed, the kind of kids that you would leave in garbage dumps or whatever, and look after them and be Christ to them. That's all he ever wanted. He loved being a really good brother. He loved being a really good son. And more than anything else, he was obsessed with being a good husband to Katrina, more than anything. I'm also really honored to know that he loved me. And I really love him. And he's my hero. And we'll all miss him. So, miss you.
Thank you, Gabriel, for those words, and I hope that that really enabled us all to reflect on the man of God that Joe was, and to just put him at the forefront of our minds for this meeting as we now move on in worship. And I think what better way to respond to that than to worship? Joe loved nothing more than to worship, and he would encourage certainly us in Hillingdon to do it as often as we possibly could. And it's reassuring to know now that he is in heaven with those angels around the throne, worshipping our Lord and Saviour. And we're going to do that now. So I'm going to hand back to Greg and the household, the YPO household, as we worship the Lord. And again, if you do have any words or senses, please do just put those on the chat to me. Thank you.